see everyone here this morning. Let's see where I can put all my stuff here. To thank Mr. Allsbrooks for the sermonette. Certain aspects will really coincide with the sermon today. I gave this sermon in Loveland, Colorado Springs, and Frisco, and never had the opportunity to give it here. And it really relates to what we've been going through in the doctrines class and talking about the Ten Commandments. And we'll talk today about one in particular, and I'll let you know what that is as we get into the sermon. God's purpose for creating the universe was so that his reproductive process can be achieved. God made mankind, male and female, and they were created so that they would produce an expanded family and fill this earth up. In Genesis 1 and verse 27, we see that this is so. As we start to read here in these verses, so God created man in his own image, in the form, the shape of how he is, even though he's a spirit being, in the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So here's a command for this growth in the world, and for mankind to expand into this world. God commanded reproduction and growth. God wanted the whole earth to be filled. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seeds, to you it shall be for food. And to every beast on the earth, every fowl of the air, to everything that creeps upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was not only good, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So God gave mankind dominion over all of his creation. Now in Genesis chapters 1 and 2, this reproductive process is to take place within the marriage union, not outside of it. It is also directed to have a designed family with a male and a female, you know, in comparison to what this world dictates today. This was God's design, a male and a female. It was a commitment in marriage that was to last as long as they lived. Now, this design that God had made was not one of confusion. It worked perfect together. God created it to be so. And in Genesis 2 and verse 24, we see this instruction here about people that get married. Genesis 2 and verse 24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. In all of this new beginning, God the Father was the father of Adam and Eve. I want to really stress this. God the Father was the father of Adam and Eve. He gave them instruction in this relationship that they're going to have between him and them. Not only was the father of Adam and Eve, but he is mentioned in Malachi to be the father of all. And I'll just read you here, Malachi 2 and verse 10. Have we not all one father? Has not one God created us? And so there is a father relationship in everyone to God the Father. God the Father taught the man and the woman. He also gave them warnings, what to do, what not to do. And God had eternal experience to draw from to guide Adam and Eve. You know, he had to deal with the angels and their fall. He had to know how to, deal with what was wrong and those angels that were right. And so God has experience in that. If we go back to Genesis 2 and verse 15, we see this instruction of do's and don'ts given to Adam and Eve. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it, you know, perfection here. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you're free to eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now here's a restriction. You shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. This was good fatherly advice given here. It was some of the do's and don'ts that the father gave to Adam and Eve. So in this experience, Adam and Eve bumped into another being that was set on disrupting this family relationship. You know, God had set this way to go. Here is someone that is going to give them a different direction. In this experience, Adam and Eve bumped into the devil. He wanted to draw Adam and Eve away from their father, away from the one that was giving them the proper instruction. The devil was out to destroy and disrupt the parent-child relationship. Didn't want that to happen. Wanted to destroy the family. He was crafty and cunning. The devil put doubt into the mind of Eve. You can eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you won't die. You know, at times we bump into things that are evil in our life, and we think, well, it's okay to play with that. But actually, what these things of evil lead to is we will die unless we repent of it. So this was conduct that their father had warned them of, given them instruction. This was to be avoided. Adam and Eve knew what was allowed and what was not to be allowed. The mother of all humanity was challenged. Would she follow the teaching and instruction of her father? Would she honor her father? Same is true of Adam. Same was required of him. The devil is deceiving Eve into thinking that God the Father does not have her best interest in mind. There must be something else that he's hiding from me. He is withholding something from you, so the devil said. There must be some part of your happiness that he is not showing you. And so we find that Adam and Eve, their decision was not showing respect or honor for the one who had given them both life. The transgression was a breaking of the fifth commandment, and that's what we'll go through today. The breaking of this commandment, honor your father and mother, started mankind on the course of this evil world. Adam and Eve had knowledge of the Ten Commandments. They were first introduced to the seventh-day Sabbath after 6 days of creation, and they broke this fifth commandment because they did not honor their father and his instructions. In the New Testament, we find the Ten Commandments broken into two divisions. Let's go over them and refer back here to Matthew 22 and verse 36, all familiar verses and instruction that we understand. Matthew 22 and verse 36 says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Which is the most important? And Jesus said unto them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. All of these internal things need to be applied to keeping God's law. Now, this is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So the first instruction is how we love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second part is how we deal with our fellow man. So, we go on to see that we are to love our neighbor. The second is like unto it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we saw that these commandments are broken down into two basic points. mankind is to love God by implementing the first four commandments. First four. And the sixth through ten commandment is to regulate your relationship to mankind. You notice I left out five because this is our focus for today on the sermon. The fifth commandment has to be observed or you will fail in all of them. All of them. It is the central hub of keeping of the Ten Commandments. I don't think I realize how important honoring your father and mother is until I started examining this. So we see back here in Exodus 20 and verse 12, where the instruction is given to honoring your mother and your father. And we see here that you honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord gives you. So I'm going to show you that we need to keep the fifth commandment, and we know that it is so foundational in keeping the rest of them. First of all, let's understand what honor is. What is that? It is to, by definition, to show special recognition to, also respect, esteem, and value. Now, I wanted to go through this here. I stated that it is important to keep that fifth commandment. Let's evaluate this. Honor. We've seen the description of it, the definition of it. Think about this. Let's look at the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. If you're going to honor God, yes, this would be so. You shall not make any idols. If you're going to honor God, yes, this is something you will not do. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. If you're going to honor God, yes, this is how you should act. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If we are going to honor God, follow him, then yes, this is what we would do with the commandment that is given here. You shall not murder. If we are to honor our fellow man, to esteem them, to have respect and value for them, yes, we would not murder, would we? You see how this honor affects these other commandments. You shall not commit adultery. Yes, if we honor our marriage and we have respect and esteem it, this is something we would not do. You shall not steal. If someone has something that you want, you obviously, if you honor that person and what they have, you would not steal from them. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You wouldn't want to lie about your neighbor to bear this false witness if you are esteeming them better than yourself and have respect. And you shall not covet anything. You shall not covet that. And of course, we can apply honor to that. If we are to look at this fifth commandment, I'm going to show you how very important it is to keeping the rest of the commandments. The fifth commandment is primarily to our biological parents. This is how it was established from creation. The focus of honor to God the Father was established at creation. Adam and Eve to their father, God the Father. The honoring of your father and mother can refer to those who assist in the development and growth of you as a child. I know for myself, I was adopted by my stepfather, and I took on his name, and I've looked at him as my father who raised me, reared me, and brought me up. We see that this can also be seen in the Bible. The honoring of a father or mother can refer to those who assist in the development and in growth of a child. It was true of Jesus. With Joseph. You know, Joseph was Jesus' father because he took care of Jesus and the interactions of the family. And so he called him his father. Moses had a different mother because Pharaoh's daughter took him out of the water and took him as being a parent to Moses. And this can occur in many different ways. We can have it happen in step-parents, foster parents, grandparents sometimes raise the children, aunts and uncles, even friends. I've seen this throughout my life, who have stepped in to take over as parents. The fifth commandment is on the same par as keeping the Sabbath. And I say that, but I think we can look at one verse here to see that this fifth commandment will even take an elevated position. It is actually put before the keeping of the Sabbath. Let's look here in Leviticus 19 and verse 1. I'll show you what I'm talking about. Notice this. Leviticus 19 and verse 1, it states here, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." This is what the Father wanted out of his children. You are to be like me, your Father. You are to be holy. Everyone shall revere his mother and his father. Notice this first instruction here, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Notice there's a new elevation here of importance. Everyone shall revere his mother. This is put in first place, and then secondarily, the mother and father, that honoring to be done and revering. And then keep my Sabbaths. It's put in a second position. We find the fifth commandment put in front of the Sabbath, or rather the Sabbaths, the holy days. Shows great importance here. Great importance. In verse 3, we are taking the level in the relationship up a notch for not only honoring, but revering, so it says here. So it is greater than even honoring our parents. In our relationship with our parents, we have some don'ts in additional instruction beyond this honoring. We'll look here in Exodus 21 and verse 15. I think we can all that are here acknowledge that we have parents, we have been parents, we have children, and we're looking to instruct our children. But look here, Exodus 21 and verse 15 gives us a little greater detail on how we would honor our parents. "And he that smites or strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Quite a severe instruction given here back in the Old Testament time. So hitting your father or mother had a severe penalty of death. We go on to verse 17. "And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." I know in today's society, condemnation of the parents. You know, they're not very smart, you know, just don't have all of the knowledge that we do as young people. So the child who curses his father or mother would be put to death in those Old Testament times. Also in Proverbs 20 and verse 20, it'll continue on with the same focus here. And in Proverbs 20 and verse 20, we see, "Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." A little different instruction here. But what does this verse actually mean? This verse gives an indication by the phraseology of obscure darkness that some translations say that the child's lamp, if they would do this, the child's lamp or his consciousness would end if there is someone that would continue to do this and would condemn his parents or her parents. So this could be a reference to physical or maybe even eternal death if this child was incorrigible. Another verse on the disrespect of a child for its parents we find here in Proverbs 30. We were at 20, now we'll go to Proverbs 30, verse 17. "The eye that mocks at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out and the young eagle shall eat it." how would this happen? How would this occur? Well, a child that would, you know, mock his father, despise his mother, more than likely would die an unnatural death, probably out in the open where there's no grave in those days. And so this verse could be fulfilled. So to mock your parents is to disrespect them, belittle them, not say how great they are in giving honor. When a parent is having trouble with his child and no solutions have been found for a rebellious child, in the Old Testament, the child is to be brought to the elders and a judgment is to be made. Notice how severe this was. Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 tells us how severe this is. Reading here in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 18, "And if a man have a stubborn and rebellious son which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, he will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place, and they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our father, or this our son, excuse me, is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." So it's, I'm sure, talking about a older son. "And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die, so that you put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear." I would say after this happening once, and if all the congregation would see that in ancient Israel, that children that were stubborn would have more honoring towards their parents. In the New Testament, Jesus is condemning the scribes and Pharisees because they thought that giving offerings to the temple was of more importance than keeping the fifth commandment. Let's go back there and look at Matthew 15 and verse 1. Matthew 15 and verse 1, showing the great importance of honoring our parents. Matthew 15 and verse 1, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders?" And so here we have the Pharisees and Sadducees condemning them, "for they wash not their hands when they eat bread." So Jesus has a reply to them in verse 3, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?" Something was taking the place of keeping the commandments, and it was the Pharisees and Sadducees' tradition. What has happened here is tradition has taken priority over the commandments. "For God commanded, saying," and here it is, "honor your father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death." The importance of verse 4 is showing that these children who had mother and father that needed to be taken care of needed to have this done instead of giving an offering to the temple. But you say, going on to verse 5, "Whoever shall say to his father or his mother, well, I'm giving a gift to the temple, and that by whatsoever thou might be profited by me." So even though the King James has said these words, here is the essence of it all. The gift was more important than taking care of your parents, giving that gift to the Pharisees and Sadducees. But he goes on to say, "and honor not his father and mother." So they're giving this gift, and they're not honoring their father and mother. The Pharisees are saying, he shall be free. That means if you gave a gift to the temple, that you are free now from not obeying that fifth commandment. You don't have to honor your parents. The Pharisees and Sadducees were saying, you're released from taking care of your parents because you are giving this gift, our traditional gift, to the temple. They were putting the traditions of the Pharisees before honoring their father and mother. They did not teach the children properly. These Pharisees didn't. In this situation, the money given to the temple in a dedication eliminates honoring your father and mother. And so Jesus was bringing great exception to this instruction that the Pharisees were giving. The money should have been used to help taking care of the parents' needs. They had replaced the fifth commandment with temple worship. So what is expected of mothers and fathers to help children keep the fifth commandment? There is a parental responsibility, and we've all fallen into the different categories during our lifetime. Children are born, I guess we would say, kind of as blank tapes or as sponges. Yes, they have their own personalities and characteristics, but they take on input from the surroundings, the environment, from the parents, and we have an influence. The greatest influence is a positive and proper influence. We as parents are responsible for the influence on our children. And each and every child is unique and different in being brought up. Psalms 127 and verse 3 tells us here, a focus here, when we have children, lo, children are an heritage. That means they are a gift of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. I can't help but think that Rush Limbaugh's comments where he says he has information or knowledge that is on loan from God. Well, children are on loan from God. We are to add value to our children and how we teach them, just like the parable of the pounds. We don't want to come away with, you know, nothing added to what's been given to us. We must show increase in the value of our children. We as parents have an accountability. We have a responsibility. The most important lesson that God was teaching in Adam and Eve was that they needed to obey. Obedience, yes. God gave instruction and expected Adam and Eve to be obedient. It is a vital instruction for us to teach our children. Now, it works with discipline, with love, not anger. And we have to be sure that our discipline is not filled with anger. In fact, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, I'll just read it for you. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So our personal examples in our family are the beginning input into our children. Beginning input. We are to show love towards our mate, show our children that we are committed to them and committed to marriage and the family. Husband and wife also stressing this and saying it in these words, that we are committed to bringing you up, rearing you up, teaching you God's ways. Families are the beginning for the kingdom of God. Honoring your parents is central to the kingdom of God. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. I may go back over some of Mr. Alsbrook's words, but good repetition is good. So Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his commandments and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your son's son. So it isn't just your sons, it's your grandsons, your grandchildren, all the days of your life, and that thy days may be prolonged. So this shows the importance of teaching by work and example. Connect your children to God. Let it always be on your mind to connect them to God. Stress that your home obeys God. We find it's true in this example of the New Testament in Ephesians 6, and we'll read here starting in verse 4. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 4. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Don't overcorrect. Don't do it in anger, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do it in love. How does God deal with you? He deals with you in love, and he brings that peace in us that shows that he loves us. If we do this, have anger in our child rearing, we can bring resentment into our children. Be firm. Have a right use of correction. Not cruel, but loving. Be the proper example, just as our Father does with us. Let's look at further instructions here in this fifth commandment. 1 Thessalonians 2:10. If you'll follow along with me. 1 Thessalonians 2:10. You are witness, and God also, how devoutly and justly and blamelessly we behaved ourselves among you that believe. So Paul is showing how he treated them and how God gave them instruction to do this. And as you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, just as a father does his children. Paul is instructing the church here, the Thessalonians, that they are being instructed by Paul as a father teaches his children, that you would walk worthy of God, worthy by example, how you lived, who has called you unto his kingdom and glory. So in child rearing, and I think this is an example that God does with us, we are to lay out boundaries for our children so that they won't be hurt or harmed, and they won't hurt themselves. Reward them for following these boundaries. Discipline your child when they fail. Do it in love. Help your child show respect, instruction in the fifth commandment. When the child has respect for who you are, the parent will then be keeping the fifth commandment. When a child learns this, they will then see that respect is to be given to God. That's how important this honoring is. Respect and honor to God, and then respect and honor to our fellow man. I want to read a story. I recently went through this book, 3 Days in January, and in here it's talking about Dwight Eisenhower's life. And the story that is told here really touched my heart. In fact, first time I read this, I couldn't help but stop bawling, realizing how Dwight Eisenhower's Eisenhower's parents treated him. Now, Dwight Eisenhower was a young boy, and his elderly brothers and sisters are now going out to do trick-or-treating. I'm not advocating that by the sermon at all, but I'm merely wanting to tell the story. Dwight Eisenhower was not old enough to go with his siblings out to do this. And Dwight Eisenhower had quite a temper. And he was so incensed because he could not go along with his siblings that he went out to the tree in the front yard, just beat that tree with his fist until they were all bloodied and torn up. His dad saw him doing this. And his dad grabbed a little hickory stick and went out there to straighten things up and to stop Dwight from continuing to do this. And so his dad, I'll read here, see if I can pick this up. So his dad, rushing into the yard, saw that Dwight was smashing his fist into this apple tree until they bled, and his father stopped him and dragged him back into the house, giving him a few extra whacks, and we can only imagine where, with a hickory stick in the process. He was sent to bed, where he lay sobbing, full of humiliation, disappointment, and frustration. He wanted to be there with his siblings. After about an hour, Ike's mother entered his room quietly and sat beside his bed. She knew how easily little boys could be crushed by feelings of helplessness and how the outlet of rage could seem the only way for them to assert themselves in a world where they had no control. As she ministered to his bleeding hands, she spoke softly to Ike about this very fact, telling him how mastering his temper was the task of growing up. Referring to the biblical passage, she stated, "He that conquers his own soul is greater than he who takes a city." Ike later mentioned this in his notes. "I have always looked back on that conversation as one of the most valuable moments of my life." And indeed, in his life and career, although Ike could display a blistering temper on rare occasions, he became far better known for his calm strength under pressure. He developed a simple method for handling rage, an anger drawer in his desk into which he dropped slips of paper with the names of people he was angry at. Once in the drawer, the grievance was banished from thought. So Ike's mother and father had a dramatic effect upon Ike's life and giving him the opportunity to control his temper. Let's see here. We'll continue on. So we see that having respect for our fellow man and loving God, it starts with honoring the parents. That's why this is so central. And I guess I've tried to describe this to the other congregations that I believe this fifth commandment, by what I've studied, is the hub. And these other commandments are the things that we go out to keep. And it's so important that honor and respect be there as the central part of keeping the commandments. If we honor our parents, then they will honor God, and then they will honor others if properly taught. The fifth commandment is a unique commandment, I've found. When kept, it will add days to your child's life, as Exodus 20 and verse 12 states. When a child learns how to honor his parents, it will be a blessing to you. You know, when you give instruction to your child and you see them follow exactly what you've instructed them to, it brings joy to you, doesn't it? It brings a smile on your face that they have wanted to follow you. They followed your instructions. You imagine how God the Father feels when we are obedient and honor him and do that. It's very important, and it's so central to the upbringing of a child. So when a child learns how to honor his parents, it will be a blessing to you. Let's look at further instructions on this fifth commandment. We'll look here in Ephesians 6 and verse 1. Ephesians 6 and verse 1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." It shows its vital importance, doesn't it? First commandment with promise. First commandment that children should learn. Honoring, having respect for their parents and for others. Notice that we are to honor our parents in the Lord. The phraseology is showing that we are to follow God first. This is so true. If our parents are not converted, we follow God first, and we show honor to our parents in how we do it. I know for myself, my mother is not in the church, and I still give honor and respect to her. I choose God first, but I still give honor and respect to my mother in how I treat her, how I act, and how I should be as a person. So, let's look here at Acts 5 and verse 29. It shows us here that we are to obey God rather than men first. It doesn't mean that we obey our parents and then disregard God. Acts 5 and verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Children who honor their parents will be blessed. How is this going to be applied? We are to have respect for our parents and what they have given you. What's number one thing that a parent has given his child? It's life. Life, number one. I'm very grateful that my mother, my father, gave me life. We can always honor and have respect for that. Proverbs 1 and verse 8 states, well, I'll read here for you, showing how we should have that respect. My son, hear the instruction of your father and forsake not the law of your mother. That means a child is to pay close attention to what your parents teach you. Make sure that you have their attention in what you're teaching them. Make sure it's learned, that they understand. Going on to verse 9, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto your head. Now, as I was mentioning before, when our children follow what we teach them, it's as this example here, they will be grace unto your head and chains about your neck. Now, these are not chains of slavery or anything like that. And we'll look here a little bit further to see what those chains are. Proverbs 4 and 1, verse 1 goes on to tell us, and we'll see some of this instruction. Hear, you children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. This is instruction that David is giving to Solomon. For I give you good doctrine or good teaching. David was giving this good doctrine, this good teaching to Solomon. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And he taught me also and said unto me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. So David taught Solomon these principles, and Solomon is remembering this. Get wisdom. You know, that was something that Solomon saw as first and forefront of what he should be achieving. Get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, don't forsake wisdom, and she shall preserve you, give you more life, lengthening of days, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Solomon knew this and understood it. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote you. She shall bring you to honor when you do embrace her. She shall give thine hand an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. And this is somewhat of the chains about your neck. It is this ornament of grace, this crown of glory, shall she deliver to you. And as we'll go down here to Proverbs chapter 6, if you'll follow along with me. Proverbs 6, and we'll start here in verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them about your neck. These commandments are something that would be about your neck to give you instruction, and it would be like gold, not things of bondage. When you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you. And when you awake, it shall talk with you. Verse 23, I think, is very important. For the commandment, it's not talking about all of them, for the commandment is a lamp. What commandment would you think would be most important and central and be the hub of what a child should learn, or any person? It is the fifth commandment, honoring, because it affects all of the other commandments. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We'll go here to chapter 13 of Proverbs. Chapter 13, starting in verse 1. A wise son hears his father's instruction, But a scorner or a scoffer hears not rebuke, doesn't want to listen to what the parents said. A scorner does not take to heart the correction that is being given to them. So make sure that we are not a scoffer of our parents. They aren't, and saying things like, well, they're not as smart as what I've learned in school or what I've heard on the radio, what I've read in a book. You know, I don't have to obey them because they're just not as smart as I am. And we scoff or downgrade who our parents are. Proverbs 23, verse 22 goes on to state this, and there's a lot of instruction for us towards our parents. Proverbs 23 and verse 22. Hearken unto your father that begat you, and despise not your mother when she is old. Kind of goes back to what we saw with Jesus and the Pharisees, where they were giving gifts to the temple rather than taking care of the parents. Hearken unto your father that begat you. Despise not your mother when she is old. So we are to honor our parents all of our life. Buy the truth, sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. We rejoice, don't we? We rejoice when we see obedience and honor in our parents. God is greatly rejoices too when he sees that in his children. I want to refer to an example that happened to me in Hawaii last year. The feast had ended, and my mother always likes macadamia nuts, and so I have to always be sure to bring back one of those variety packs of macadamia nuts to my mother. So the best place I found to buy them was at Costco. They had the best prices, the best variety pack. So I go get my package that I'm going to take back to my mother, and I'm going to stuff in my suitcase to bring back to the States here so I can ship it to her. And I get in line at Costco, and right in front of me is a young mother. She had a child, I'm going to guess, about 4 or 5 years old, something like that. And she's offloading her things onto the conveyor belt, and the daughter is sitting in the, you know, the cart that she's been pushing. And she says to her daughter, the mother says to the daughter, Susie, it's time to get out of the cart so we can load it on the other side. Well, the child I'm watching here has this, I'm not going to do this attitude. And the mother turns to the child and points at her and says, that's one. She pauses a little bit. That's two. And before the mother could get to three, the daughter jumped into her arms, willing to do what the mother had requested of her. The child then went to the front of the cart, and they're going through the line, and I leaned over to her and I said, you're such an example in your child rearing that your child is able to follow what you requested of you. And she said, well, I was disciplined when I was a child, and so I felt it was necessary to make sure that my children followed me. So I just wanted to relay that example. We see those now and then, and it's so heartening to see that. And anyway, we'll continue on here with Proverbs 23 and verse 25. Thy father and your mother shall be glad. That mother there in Costco, she was glad. I'd say she was probably beaming that that child had followed what she had requested, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me your heart. That means have the child be wanting to be obedient to you, and let your eyes observe my ways. Another verse talking about we are to take care of our parents when they need help. We are to honor our parents no matter what their age is. Let's look at Jesus' personal example here in John 19 and verse 25. I could have probably put this back there on that other instruction that Jesus had earlier. But let's look here. Look at how Jesus was concerned for his mother, even in the circumstance that he was in here in John 19, verse 25. We'll find that Jesus has been beaten through the night. He's been put on this tree or this cross, and the verse states here, "Now therefore stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, witnessing what had happened to her son, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple," which is talking about John, "standing by whom he loved, he said unto his mother, Woman, behold your son. Then says he to the disciple John, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his home." Jesus did not want to see, have his mother see him die here. Even on the cross, Jesus honored his mother and made sure that she was taken care of. Jesus had great honor for her. Today, the family unit is under attack by the devil. We heard some of this in the sermonette today. Some look at children as being in the way, something that is not to be desired. We are required to honor our parents, to have godly love. Now, it may not be with familial love as much as we'd like to. I can't help but think that somebody here in this room has probably had parents that have not brought them up as they should. Maybe did great harm to them. And it's hard to have that natural respect and love for that parent and how to have godly love for them. We are required to show godly love even in this application. Now, some parents, as I said, have not been godly parents. This is a hard thing when a child faces this fifth commandment. But we are asked to honor our parents and look for the good that is in them. Esteem others, even your parents, better than yourself. Move forward so that lacking parents, those who have not been good parents, may have the opportunity to repent someday. We must recognize that all parents are imperfect to some degree. We must lay down our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit to honor our parents. So says that fifth commandment. How important is the fifth commandment to you? It is the central focus on keeping the rest of the commandments. I hope this emphasis I've given you shows an importance on how that is. Strive with God's Holy Spirit in the example of Jesus Christ and God the Father to honor your father and mother. By applying this fifth commandment, you will be better at loving God. That commandments 1 through 4. And loving your fellow man, commandments 6 through 10. This honoring enters into this picture. And brethren, I hope you can see the importance of the fifth commandment.